Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for just this day. We're thankful for the rain that we get, and we pray even more for the rain that we need from your Holy Spirit. Pray that your Holy Spirit ignites my words this morning and acts as a filter in the ears of the listeners to keep them from hearing anything that you don't think I'm saying right. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Little slower, probably not as enthusiastic as I usually am when I do my sermons. I was coming home on Wednesday evening, almost home, about 10 minutes from home, and I got swatted off the road by a semi. And I tried to get back on the road and hit the semi still there, and then the semi drove away. And so I have recognizing the symptoms from previous injuries, I have several broken ribs. So I'm not being able to draw a full breath. And if I happen to cough during the sermon, you will see a change in my facial expression. I want to tell you a story this morning that's, you know, but you may not know it in the way that I'm going to tell it. So if we're talking about the academic world, or if we're talking about the business world, and we mention a geek, what is a geek? Okay, good answer right up here. Somebody who is technically savvy. They're very good with computers. They know how to make those computers say what they want them to say. And our story today is about Jimmy the Geek. Now, if you know anything about organized crime, you know that organized crime people often have nicknames. And Jimmy the Geek's boss's nickname was Big Louie. And Big Louie ran quite a large organized crime field. Brought in lots of cash through extortion and gambling, drugs, and just millions and millions and millions of dollars a year. Well, Jimmy the Geek noticed that there was a little glitch in the way that the money was deposited for one of the off-site accounts. And so just as an experiment, he moved $100 from the regular funds into that account right there. And no bells and whistles went off. Nothing happened. So the next time the money came in, he moved $1,000 into that account. Nothing happened. And so he kept going on, $1,000 here, $10,000 there, over and over again for a long time. This went on for years, years. Well, there was a power system surge that caused some flip to switch, and or the other way around, even. Could have been a switch that flipped. But they had to have it checked out, and in the process of checking it out, the technician that checked it out noticed that there was an irregularity in the way that that particular area of the computer had been functioning. And so he told Big Louie, and he said, you know, you really ought to have the whole system checked out. So Big Louie said, okay, we're going to have the whole system checked out. So it took several weeks for them to check out the whole system. And when they did check out the whole system, it was revealed that Jimmy the Geek had siphoned off $3.5 million into his own accounts. And Big Louie called Jimmy the Geek into his office, said, Jimmy, we've just discovered what you've been doing. And now Bruno and Boris here are going to take you out and feed you to the fishes. Jimmy the Geek fell down on his face and cried and begged and pleaded and, you know, said, "Boss, you know, I'm so sorry I did this. Believe me, though, you know, with my knowledge of computers and so forth, I can get that money back for you and more." And this kind of amused Big Louie. And he said, okay, all right then, I'll let you go. So Jimmy the Geek is walking out of the office that day, and he's scared. And he's kind of mad because Bobby the Fish had owed him about $100 for a long time. And so as he's walking out of the building that day, he happens to see Bobby the Fish. And he follows Bobby out to the parking lot. And he goes to his car first, and then he comes over to Bobby's car, and he's got a baseball bat. And he says, "You haven't paid me that money you owed me, so I've got a little reminder for you to pay me that money." And he hits Bobby in the knee with the baseball bat. Well, of course, Bobby can't walk after that, and he's on crutches, probably stays on crutches and used his boot and everything better than my grandson. But the other employees that worked for Big Louie saw what had happened, and they came back to Big Louie and said, "You know, didn't you let Jimmy the Geek go when he couldn't pay this $3.5 million? "Yeah. "Well, you know, he just broke Bobby the Fish's knee and put him on sticks. He'll be on sticks for the next 6 months." And Big Louie says, "Is that so?" And so he calls Jimmy the Geek back in his office, and he calls Boris and Benny back into his office. And he says, "Take Jimmy the Geek out and show him what it means not to give mercy for mercy." Now, there's probably none of you in here who didn't recognize that story, right? You've heard it before. Sounded a little different, a little more updated. Nobody got handed over to the torturers or got their wives or children sold or whatever. Makes a little more sense in a modern day time. But the question is always, why did Jesus tell that parable? And why does it need retelling today? When I first started my ministry, I started in a 2-church district. One church was 60 miles apart from the other one. And it had 8 people in it. And so, obviously, I felt like one of the first things I needed to do was, you know, do some evangelistic series, get some Bible studies going, build up this church. And so as I'm meeting the members and I'm building up the church and so on, I find out a couple of things. I find out that there's some other members that go to a home church over in another place that's about 40 miles farther away, and that they're going to that church because they had a fight about something with the members that were there, and so they didn't want to have church with them anymore. So then I started having Bible studies there at the church, and I had several going, and I had one going with a young mother with a couple of kids, and she started coming to church. Well, that, you know, is always great news for a pastor. And so she came to church a couple of weeks in blue jeans and a regular outfit that you'd wear every day. She must have noticed that the ladies in the church wore dresses to church. And so the next week, she wore a dress to church. Now, I really don't know much about her, but I'm guessing this was probably her only dress. A little red party dress that was a little too low in the top and a little too high on the bottom. And after church, as we were going to the potluck, I overheard one of the older ladies in the church come up beside her and say, "You look like a prostitute." my larger church in that district, I had a member who wanted to come to my office and talk to me, and so I said, sure, come talk. Well, Pastor, this is the problem. So-and-so is wearing pants to church. And I said, yeah. Well, you need to tell her not to wear pants. And I said to this member, where do you think she's going to come more in contact with the Holy Spirit? If she comes to church or if she stays home? Well, if she comes to church. I said, you know what? That's my thinking too. Then I got very facetious and I said, she can come with less than that on, and we'll find her a choir robe as long as she comes. As long as she comes. I could tell you so many stories. I was coming into another new church that was going to be part of a new district. And I was walking around to the adult Sabbath school classes. And the adult Sabbath school teacher in this one location had asked somebody to read a verse from the lesson. And so they opened their Bible and they started reading the verse for the lesson. And the Sabbath school said, stop. Don't bring that Bible to church anymore. This is a visitor. We only use King James here. I suppose that's probably enough stories to get you to understand where I'm coming from. In a lot of churches, with a lot of people, I hear them talk about grace. How wonderful grace is. How they have been saved by grace. How none of us can be without grace. And then I start hearing them treat their fellow church members without any grace. You know the way that I can understand and know that a person understands what grace is? A person who understands grace gives grace to others. There's a verse, and I thought I'd be able to find it fast here, and maybe I still can. But it talks about people taking little bites of their fellow church people here and there. And then Paul says, you know, you need to be careful if, in case, here we go. I found it. Bible says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is Galatians 5. And then in verse 15 it says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now, how would people biting at each other consume one another? How long do people like to continue to come to a church where they get bitten, where they get criticized? Whether it's for their knowledge of the Bible, whether it's for what they're wearing, whether it's for what they feel is hugging at the inappropriate time, whatever it is. How long does a church like that last? And then when I finally found our scripture this morning, I don't know how I ended up giving the scripture I did to Kara, but it sure wasn't what I was wanting. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Any of you, those of you who are married, ever have a less than graceful encounter with one another? How about at work? Any of you at work ever have a less than graceful encounter with somebody? Love one another. Be tender-hearted, giving grace the way that God gave grace to you. By the way, how important is that? You remember a little phrase in the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? If we can't get along in our church and in our homes, how do you think we're going to get along in heaven? Somebody thinks maybe, okay, it's going to be a big cube, and maybe if they live in this little point of the cube here, and I live in the other end of the cube all the way up there I'll never have to run into. Is that what we think? This is such an important topic, the idea of grace. Not only the grace that we've received, but because we have so freely received that grace, we're told to freely give it. The connecting church is fine, but wouldn't you love to be known as the graceful church in town? I'm going to sing this song a cappella, and those of you who know this song, please join me as we sing it. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to do. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Is that brand new to everybody? It is. Okay, we'll sing it again a little higher. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he's told me to do. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Amen. And now may God, who alone is wise, be glorious to you and give you grace through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.